Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio, and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath, August 31st, 2019. This is our lesson 285, part 2 review of chapter 62, entitled The Feast at Simon's House, part 4. Our opening hymn to our theme is entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to join in the hymn, may you unmute your mic. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain. Oh, be held in sin-dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than millions of love. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread clay.
Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Oh, thank you.
Okay, you pray when it's time to pray. So.
He is fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He is sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the little ones, mummies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute to my dear ones.
Blessed stop in and care. That's the car. And my friend is Nate Nightbird. Amen.
Okay, you have to take your time. Let's try again.
May we call.
Thank you, Father.
I make you this morning. You are my friend. Night, night,
amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness of this morning.
Thank you for giving us another opportunity to enter into your blessed Sabbath. I pray, dear Father God, that you forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. Anything that we have done in the body, knowing our name. Dear Father, I pray that you'd be able to give us the opportunity to put it upon the altar, that we may be forgiven according to your perfect will. I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us that are here, for those that are listening over the phone, for those that are listening at a later time, for those that are not here with us for whatever reason, wherever they are, may you send your Holy Spirit to encamp about them, put a hedge of protection, dear Father, especially for those that are sick and shut in, those that are dealing with any type of maladies, dear Father, those that are grieving for whatever purpose, dear Father. I pray that you be with each and every one. You know all of our situations, and we know that if we are faithful and if we have patience and just trust in your name, that you are in control and you have already made a resolution for all the issues, dear Father. We thank you and we love you. Please put your healing hand upon those that are sick and afflicted, especially for my daughter, Emma, dear Father, and myself as well, dear Father God. And for all the other brethren that may not be able to speak up or may have an unspoken, dear Father, we thank you and we love you in all things. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand in agreement with you, dear sister. Welcome to all the brethren that are just joining us. Our opening verse that we use for our review is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, from the King James Version margin, and we have it as a memory song, as a verse.
Come now,
and let us reason together. That's what God said.
Come now,
and let us reason together,
says the Lord.
Though your sin be escalated, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as gold. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said.
Come now,
and let us reason together, says the Lord.
So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we begin your question, your comments, your poem, or whatever you want to share with your dear remnant family, let's take a few minutes to review our reading from last Sabbath of our part one, of our part four of the Feast of Simon House in our book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to text the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 563. But the look which Jesus cast upon Judas convinced him that the Savior penetrated his hypocrisy and read his base contemptible character. And in commanding Mary's action, which had been so severely commended, Jesus had rebuked Judas. Prior to this, the Savior had never given him a direct rebuke. Now the reproof rankled in his heart. He determined to be revenged. From the supper, he went directly to the palace of the priests, where he found the council assembled, and he offered to betray Jesus into their hands.
Continuing the reading. The priests were greatly rejoiced.
Greatly rejoiced.
These leaders
of Israel
of Israel,
Israel
had been given, the privilege
of
receiving
Christ
as
their
Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Without
money
and without Christ. Not Christ, but the P, Christ.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Haley. Okay, can mommy finish now?
Sure.
Okay, good job. But they refused the precious gift offered them in the most tender spirit of constraining love. They refused to accept that salvation which is of more value than gold, and brought their Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Desire of Ages, page 564, paragraph 1. Amen. Good job, Haley.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And on the slide it says, what is more precious than gold but salvation? Amen. Amen.
Judas had
indulged
appetite until it overpowered every good trait of his character. He grudged the offering made to Jesus. His heart burned with
envy
that the Savior should be the recipient of the gift suitable for the monarchs of the earth for a sum far less than the box of ointment cost, betrayed his Lord.
The disciples were not like Judas. They loved the Savior, but they did not rightly appreciate his exalted character. Had they realized what he had done for them, they would have felt that nothing bestowed upon him was wasted. The wise men from the East who knew so little of Jesus had shown a truer appreciation of the honor due him. They brought precious gifts to the Savior and bowed in homage before him when he was but a babe and cradled in a manger. Desire of Ages, 564, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 564. Christ values acts of heartfelt courtesy. When anyone did him a favor with heavenly politeness, he blessed the actor. He did not refuse the simplest flower plucked by the hand of a child and offered to him in love. He accepted the offerings of children and blessed the givers, inscribing their names in the Book of Life. Next slide. In the scriptures, Mary's anointing of Jesus is mentioned as distinguishing her from the other Marys. Acts of love and reverence for Jesus are an evidence of faith in him as the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit mentions as evidences of woman's loyalty to Christ. If she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work, 1 Timothy 5:10, in Desire of Ages, page 564, paragraph 4, in the middle slide, and the middle left slide, it says, is that same verse. Well, pour it up for her good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, 1 Timothy 5:10, possibly the first half.
Christ delighted in the earnest desire of Mary to do the will of her Lord. She accepted the wealth of pure affection which his disciples would not understand. The desire that Mary had to do this service for her Lord was of more value to Christ than all the precious ointment in the world. Next slide, please. Continuing, because it expressed her appreciation of the world's Redeemer, It was the love of Christ that constrained her. The matchless excellence of the character of Christ filled her soul. That ointment was a symbol of the heart of the giver. It was the outward demonstration of love fed by heavenly streams until it overflowed. Desire of Ages, page 564, paragraph 5. And the slide says, the precious name of Jesus fills the heart with sweetness.
Continuing. The work of Mary was just a lesson the disciples needed to show them that the expression of their love for him would be pleasing to Christ. He had been everything to them, and they did not realize that soon they would be deprived of his presence, that soon they could offer him no token of their gratitude for his great love. The loneliness of Christ separated from the heavenly courts, living the life of humanity. Desire of Ages. Continue on the next slide. And continuing. Was never understood or appreciated by the disciples as it should have been. He was often grieved because his disciples did not give him that which he should have received from them. He knew that if they were under the influence of the heavenly angels that accompanied him, they too would think no offering of sufficient value to declare the heart's spiritual affection. Desire of Ages, page 565, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful to hear the little ones also reading. All my little readers, Gabby, Danielle, Lateja, we want to hear you as well. We are blessed by all of the little ones reading and also our brethren in the other part of the world as well. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version. It's also a memory verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Dear Savior, as we begin to listen to the children's comments or question, we ask that your Holy Spirit may be able to be with each heart and help us to be able to be a blessing, not only to the children, but to one another as well. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? Now the mic is open for anyone that would like to ask a question or give a comment about what they have learned. It could be either this part or the first part, because this is like the fourth part of our study. If you have any question, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
God blessings, everyone. I am learning that peace comes when you have complete trust in the word of the Lord.
Well, on this four parts of our study from this particular chapter, what I came to learn is that even though all the disciples and everyone was around Jesus, everyone was more concentrating on what it is that they wanted in their life or what they wanted to learn or to be able to be clear. But I started to notice that no one really looked to see what Jesus really needed. And how beautiful the Holy Spirit allowed someone that they never would have considered come and literally became a lesson to so many to be able to see that what the Lord needed, the Lord had brought a woman that was not seen in the eyes of all of the guests and the believers to be someone that was worthy, but yet she was used to answer the longing that our Savior had. And I pray that that would not happen to any one of us, that we will continue looking to see what His will is more than what it is that we want or we need. because the whole purpose of the gospel is to represent Christ in the world. And if the world doesn't know Jesus, it's really because we will not allow him to be glorified in us. This is what I have taken out of these four chapters. I mean, these four parts. Any question, dear ones? Any comment? Anything that you would like to share? We are going to go to the other section of our study. Because of the gift that Mary had done to Jesus, and it says that the Holy Spirit had actually worked in her heart and it constrained her to be able to come about to do such a beautiful homage to her Savior, I was moved to share this particular scripture song. It's taken from Scripture Song Singers in the section God's Love, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 15 from the King James Version. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge, that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that they wish live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that they wish live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. Is there any thought, any point that anyone would like to share with the room and the brethren? Meanwhile, you're gathering your thoughts, dear one. I have also found another beautiful poem. It's entitled, What Makes a Man? This one is also taken for Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 10, 1857, from June 25th, the same year. It's from Uriah Smith, resident editor. If any one of the dear brethren would like to share it with the room, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
A truthful soul, a loving mind, full of affection for its kind, a spirit firm, erect and free, that never basely bends the knee, that will not bear a feather's weight on slavery's chain for small and great, that truly speaks from God within and never makes a league with sin, that snaps the fetters the spots make and loves the truth for its own sake, that worships God and him alone and bows nowhere but at his throne, that trembles at no tyrant's nod, a soul that fears no one but God, and thus can smile at curse or ban, that is the soul that makes a man.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any testimonies? Or everyone has a story that you would like to share? You can be able to do so. May you unmute your mic?
I don't have a testimony or a story to tell, but I've been looking through some of the lessons that I learned about water and hydrology, and I think I have something that may be similar to what we were discussing about Judas and Mary's characters. It was about how to take care of the body with water and that we all need to drink once in a while. It says that it is important to drink plenty of water each day. Sometimes people, like Judas, forget to drink their water, just like many people forget to spend time with the water of life. Can you imagine what it'd be like to have to drink about 50 gallons of water a day? Well, I'm not really sure if that's really possible. I mean, I know we drink lots of water, but 50 gallons, perhaps that was probably a misprint. But even if it was or wasn't, it could be a week or a month that we may drink that much. Anyway, that's how much water goes through an adult's kidneys each day. The body is cleansed and is then made pure. I think it'll only be half if it was a child's kidney. If this water were not made pure and put back into the system, you would need to replace it. There is also water lost each day from perspiration, digestion, and breathing. Almost all the water is recycled, 99% in the system, only a small amount, which is 1%, leaves the body. In order to replace the water that leaves the body, it is important that you drink a proper amount. Not more than half a glass should be drunk at one time. If the water is replaced, you will have more endurance to do the things you need to. A Christian needs to take proper time with God. Then he will have more endurance to resist temptation than a non-Christian does. Drinking water at regular times and proper amounts is the best blood cleanser known. Seeking God at regular times and drinking fully of the water of life is the best sin cleanser known. It is important that the water used for drinking be soft water. Hard water irritates the kidneys and other organs. Its use over a period of time leads to certain diseases. You see, there was a time when people who cared for horses made sure their animals had only soft water to drink. The taste of the well-cared-for horse was so perfect in this matter as to cause him, when thirsty, to refuse to drink at hard water springs and go for miles until he could find soft water. The coat of a horse which drinks soft water is glossy and sleek. Those that have only hard water have a dry, half-deadened condition of their hair and skin that makes them twice as hard to groom. So hard water with too many minerals mixed in causes diseases in animals as well as people. And so you can see Christ is the water of life, and especially the soft up water that we need to have ourselves cleansed spiritually. And so next time you have a glass of water to drink when you're thirsty, be reminded of how Christ is actually cleansing you from all the sin that may be giving you trouble in your life, or would be if you don't resist it. But Mary already had her life pure and cleansed. That way, Christ Ace had as in her action when she anointed Christ with that holy oil. But Judas' life was. Clearly, by his action, he wasn't cleansed, and no doubt he's had in the hard water of sin and corrupt his heart, and also his greed is taking more of his character by the second, until he finally thinks of the idea of betraying Christ to those cruel Pharisees who wanted him in dead or out of the way. So we have hearts like Mary, and hopefully we can change hearts of many who have the same spirit like Judas, as that way they can have the water of life cleanse their lives as well. And that's all I want to give.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear Brother Josh. But I could imagine that the amount of water that they actually spoke about is not so much the daily intake. but how much water it takes to clean the kidney. When we have the water coming into our system, there are so many organs that need water to do their job. So it may seem to be a lot, but when you think about the 12 system of our bodies and how each one uses water for the necessity of what they have to be able to do in our daily life, you can consider why it's so much. So whenever we don't drink the water, we not only removing the ability for our organs to be able to function properly, but we are neglecting what it is that it needs to be able to give us health. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And we have come to the ending of our first section of our Children's Sabbath School lesson. And this is the area where the little ones will also have the opportunity to either ask questions, or when we say children, it's not only the little ones. I believe that we are all children as well. So our dear Brother Dick will be the one to narrate it.
All right. If you have any questions, put them in the chat. Let me run back over there momentarily and see if where we are. Okay. And it's review time. Be strong, for God is with us. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. When this was said and why? They were rebuilding the temple. The Lord said, get to work, I'll be with you. The Lord is cognizant, or he is aware, of the conflict of his people in these last days with satanic agencies. That is anything that works with Satan to destroy us. Remember what I said one of these satanic agencies is? Television. The best time to watch the TV is when the screen is shut off. Combined with evil men who neglect to refuse their great salvation, with the greatest simplicity and candor, honesty and truthfulness, our Savior, the mighty general of the armies of heaven, does not conceal or hide the stern conflict or temptations and trials which they will experience. He points out the dangers. He shows us the plan of battle and the hard and hazardous or dangerous work to be done. And then lifts his voice before entering the conflict to count the cost, while at the same time he encourages all to take up the weapons of their warfare, that is prayer and Bible study, and expect the heavenly host to compose or direct the armies to war in defense of truth and righteousness. Man's weakness shall find supernatural or heavenly strength to help with or help in every stern conflict to do the deeds of omnipotence or work the works God wants us to do. And perseverance in faith. That means you don't give up your faith. And perfect trust in God will ensure success. While the past confederacy of evil, that is the evil, the devil, and all his angels, is arrayed against them, is fighting against them, he, Jesus, bids them, or says to them, be brave and strong and fight valiantly, or do it with all your strength, that they have a heaven to win, and they have more than an angel in their ranks. The mighty general of armies, that's Jesus, leads on the armies of heaven. As on the occasion of the taking of Jericho, not one of the armies of Israel could boast of exercising their finite or human strength to overthrow the walls of the city. But the captain of the Lord's host planned the battle so that in the greatest simplicity, that the Lord alone should receive the glory, and men should not exalt or boast. God has promised us all power, for the promise is unto us, unto you and your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's Acts 2:39. Faith is the living power that presses through through every barrier, that's like a wall, overrides all obstacles, that's like anything in your way, and plants his banner in the heart of the enemy's camp. To plant a banner means to convert someone to Christ. That's Sons and Daughters of God, page 202. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai 2:4. This encouragement was given to the Jews when the Jews were rebuilding the temple after the captivity in Babylon and Medo-Persia. All right. Let me drop that one and whoops, where my... Yeah, this is it. Now, see if we have any questions. Only thing new is thank you, Joshie, and amen. Thank you, dear brother Joshua, again. So you got thanked twice, Joshua. No questions, brother, to be answered now. So we can let Rose take care of it again. Thank you for listening.
Well, I could just talk a little bit of that verse that was given. It is so current today. We have to be strong. There's so many things that are happening, but just remember the Lord say, be strong and work. So while we are doing the work, he will give us the strength to be able to carry on, even in this time of trials and tribulation. So next week, dear one, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled The Feast at Simon's House in our study book, Desire of Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or our guests would like to close with prayer. May you unmute your mic, dear one. If we can bow our heads and our hearts and our knees, if it's possible, as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Precious and dear Savior, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, Father Jesus, we ask humbly that you may be able to help us to execute our work in whatever manner that we are to represent you in our home, in our jobs, as we go along in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors, with whoever, Father Jesus, we ask that you may send your power through the Holy Spirit, that we may not only humble ourselves to be instrument, but also humble ourselves to be used. We don't know what is in the hearts of man. We don't even know sometimes what is in our own hearts, for that's the reason we cannot trust it. We pray, dear Lord, that we may every day come boldly to the throne of grace and ask, other refuge have I none, hence my helpless soul on thee. Leave or leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, to the storm of life is past. Save into the heaven Gaia, O receive my soul at last. Father Jesus, help us that we may consecrate ourselves every morning, that we may come before you and ask what is the provision that we have. For we don't know from the end, from the beginning. Help us not to interfere, Father Jesus, as you move through us. For you are still reconciling the world through us, Father Jesus. But you are the one that reconciling the world. Help us not to become stumbling block or any kind of walls towards those that you are drawing near, Father. Help us that we may be able to surrender our total will to thee. And as we continue today in our study, open our eyes and our hearts to be able to understand such a vital lesson, Father Jesus. The world does not know what is a high priest. A lot of them have someone to look at, but that is not the high priest, that only through his righteousness and the purity of heart and life can be able to sanctify us. Help us, dear Lord, to be foot soldiers, always looking to where people may have questions and take them to the fountain of life, which is your holy word. We cannot teach anyone, but we know that the Holy Spirit could help us, is my prayer. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit. Forgive us to be late, Father Jesus, in such a time as this. Help us, I pray, is my prayer for every individual in this place and also those that are in the front line and those that are doing missionary work in remote places that are in danger. May you send your holy angels around them and protect their family while they are away. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to have our lesson 286, chapter 62, entitled The Feast at Simon's House, Part 5. And that will be held, dear ones, on September 7th, 2019. Hope and pray everyone will bless, dear ones, and may you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.